God doesn't want Calvary Chapel or any church, God doesn't want any Christian to be ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit. Not only that, God doesn't want you to ever be uncomfortable with the gifts of the Spirit.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome to our midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. It's great to have you joining us for Pastor Bill's study in the New Testament epistle of 1 Corinthians. The message today is from chapter 12 and entitled, I Don't Want You to Be Ignorant. Now let's join Pastor.
Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you're tuning in live for the first time or visiting with us for the very first time, we're doing a study through this epistle. We're going to be in chapter 12 this morning. Let me read a few verses to you. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be, what's that next word? Say it again. That's a beautiful word, isn't it? I don't want you to be ignorant. God doesn't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant, and you don't want to be ignorant. Amen? Very important word this morning. Now, you know that you were Gentiles, Paul tells the church at Corinth, carried away with those dumb idols, however you were led. And therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus anathema, or accursed, or without God, or doomed to destruction, alienated from God. What a horrible, horrible word. So no one by the Spirit calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and to another working of miracles, and by another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. This morning we begin an in-depth series, if you will, on the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we've covered, remember, in beginning in chapter 11, all the way we're going to go through 14, Paul is answering or giving a response to the letter that he received from the Corinthians, addressing the problems that were happening in public worship. Now, we've already covered the head coverings, and we've talked about being drunk at the Lord's Supper. We don't do that. They did that. You know what I'm saying. And all the division and all of that. But there was a major, major issue at the church at Corinth. And they were, as today, just like then, they were horribly abusing the gifts of the Spirit. And the reason is because of their ignorance. Now listen carefully. As we begin this great chapter, this new section, it's important to know that there are well-meaning people that I have deep respect for who actually, maybe pastors, teachers, or even believers themselves, they skip over chapter 12. They love to get into chapter 13, but they skip over chapter 14. And the reason that they do that is because they believe in their hearts that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. They're called secessionists. In other words, they believe that's a doctrine that's been created where they believe that all of the gifts of the Spirit, they have now ceased. When the last apostle died, they all died out as well. Now listen, those who teach that, they are sincere. They love the Lord. Most of them love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their hearts, okay? But you know, when I personally have a very deep problem with that. And that is that, I mean, what gifts have ceased? Because, you know, chapter 12, only we're going to look at 9 of the gifts of the Spirit, if you will. But chapter 12 is not an exhaustive list of the gifts of the Spirit. You can go into chapter 12, verses 3 through 4 and following. There, the gifts of administration, helps, and exhortations. Have those gifts passed away? Okay, so we know that what gifts are they talking about then? And then we could go into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, when it talks about Jesus who ascended is the one who also ascended into heaven, giving gifts unto men such as prophets and evangelists and prophets and pastors and teachers. Now, let me ask you a question. Has the pastor teacher, has it passed away? So which gifts are they talking about? You see what I'm getting at. So, you know, we don't have the authority to say, okay, now these gifts are gone and these gifts are not. They're all still available for today. Now, very carefully, listen to me. Those who say that, I don't have a problem with them. No difference than the guys who come up to me and say, I don't believe in the rapture of the church. I believe that we're going to go through the great tribulation period, and Bill, you might lose your head. Well, praise the Lord. But when we're going up, I'm going to explain everything to you, okay? So I don't have a problem. You see, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, which are beautiful, they're incredible because they come from God. You know, if a person doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, they believe that they passed away. To me, I still fellowship with that brother or that sister because it's a non-essential of the faith. Now, if they said, I don't believe in the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the blood, or the resurrection, or the virgin birth, and all of those things, or second coming, I go, well, we got a problem. I'm not hanging with you. I'm not going to eat with you. You understand? I mean, I'll lead them to the Lord because they're not saved, all right? So, but with this, I don't have a problem with them at all. In the non-essentials, like the gifts of the Spirit with other believers, we have liberty, amen? But as far as this church, that Paul writes and he says in verse 1, I do not want the Corinthians to be ignorant. I don't want Calvary Chapel to be ignorant at all. And that word just simply means you're misinformed. All the Calvary Chapels around the world, including Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, we all stand together in the same belief, and is this. We believe with all of our hearts in the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit of God and exercise of all the biblical gifts as long as they're done according to the Word of God. Amen? Now, with all that being said, let me give you a definition of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are supernatural gifts, meaning they're not natural. We're not talking about natural gifts. We're talking about gifts that come down from heaven. And they're bestowed by the Holy Spirit for ministry, and they're manifested through the body of Christ for a purpose, to build up the church and to carry out the will of Christ on this planet. Amen? So it's very important that we see that. Paul said, do not be ignorant of spiritual gifts, brethren. Very important. Yet, in the world today, oh, let's just take America. At least or more than 80% of the people in our nation, they do not believe that the gifts, in other words, they're ignorant of the gifts. Matter of fact, they don't even know what the gifts are. They don't even know how they operate. And many, again, they don't even believe that they exist. So there's a lot of ignorance concerning the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I want this morning, as this is an introduction to the gifts of the Spirit, I want you to follow me through some scriptures. So you might want to take notes because we're not going to be going line by line today as we usually do. We're going to be skipping around. So I want you to look at chapter 14 of Corinthians, and I want you to look at verse 12. Paul, again, he's writing there, continuing about the gifts of the Spirit. Even so you, since you are zealous, your own fireman, for the spiritual gifts. Now look what he says. Let all of the gifts be for the what? The edification, the building up of the church that you seek to excel. Now listen, the church at Corinth was so zealous for the gifts of the Spirit. You go back to chapter 1, Paul says, listen, you are enriched in everything, in all utterance, and in all knowledge, and all of the gifts. The gifts were flowing. Here's the problem, though. Yes, they were zealous, but they were zealous for the gifts of the Spirit in the wrong manner. Instead of allowing the beautiful, incredible, wonderful gifts of the Spirit to edify or build up the church, they were literally destroying the church at Corinth with the gifts. They were tearing it apart. See, if the church today or then, if the church is ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit, how then can they be effective in truly building up the church of Christ the way it needs to be? Does that make sense? See, the Spirit does all sorts of things. You can't put God in a box. Man, and we need to be such effective witnesses to the Lord. Someone put it this way. It's not so much a matter of having the gift or a gift, but as being a gift. What a word. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 12. Paul starts out, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, and look at this word, brethren. In other words, he says, my dear family. He says, I do not want you to be misinformed. I do not want you to be ignorant. He's going to talk about spiritual gifts. Now, you'll notice in your Bible, the word gifts is in italics. That means it's not there, okay? The translators added it. So when Paul here uses that word spiritual gifts, again, he's responding to that letter that they wrote to them. That's why he says now concerning spiritual gifts. That word literally is implying that Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, he's saying, listen, you know, you guys are taking certain people that's flowing in the Spirit as the Spirit wills, and you are exalting them, and you're not supposed to be doing that, and you're doing damage to the church. God says, listen, God doesn't want Calvary Chapel or any church, God doesn't want any Christian to be ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit. Not only that, God doesn't want you to ever be uncomfortable with the gifts of the Spirit. And he certainly doesn't want you to be fearful of the gifts of the Spirit. And the reason so many people today are is that because of the horrible abuse that they see, and they're so misinformed about the gifts anyway, they don't know, is that true? Is this really happening? I mean, are people, look what's happening in this church and that church. I mean, there's gold dust falling, there's this and that. I mean, you know, and I'm not being critical. I take a little gold dust right now. However, do you understand what I'm getting at? And so they're going, I don't know what to believe. Listen to me. Oh, loved one, listen. The way not to be uncomfortable, the way not to be afraid of the gifts of the Spirit, the way not to be ignorant is to know the Word of God. Amen. That's what's wrong today is people, oh, I don't know how to study it out. Well, you need to study it out. That's why this series on the gifts. Now look at verse 2. You know that you were unlearned pagans. That's what really he's saying there. You're Gentiles. You know what you used to be. You're just a bunch of unlearned pagans, and you were carried away with these dumb, and that word means without a voice, okay? In other words, silent. These dumb idols, however you were led. He says, you used to be dumb pagans. You used to be unlearned pagans. You used to be very ignorant, but that was in the past. That's your religious past, but you're not that way now. And because of that ignorance, you were led away. You know, you were led away to serve idols instead of the living God. You know, if you don't know Christ, you'll follow anything. Amen? That's right. And so he says, listen, but you're no longer ignorant about idols. When you look up there at the temple of Aphrodite sitting all the way up on that mountain and gazing down at the city, and you know that Aphrodite, the goddess of sex, you know that she's nothing. You know that she doesn't have a voice. You know that she doesn't exist. You know that all idols are simply man-made by man. Amen? Psalm 115, verse 4, the psalmist says, listen, you know, you have your idols, and look, you put little mouths on them, but they can't speak. You carve in their little ears, but they can't hear. You even put little eyes in there, but you know what? They can't see you. They have mouths, but they cannot speak, hands, but they cannot help you, and they have feet, but they cannot take you anywhere. Paul says, you were led away by those, but not anymore. He says, that word, loved one, listen to me now. It says, you know how you were led. I encourage you to do a study of that word in the Greek because that's a powerful word. It's a word that literally means you were taken away as a criminal. You were handcuffed, but you were so blind you didn't even see your chains, and you're taking away to be executed. You're like animals lined up in a line that are going to slaughter, and you didn't even know it. That's what Paul was saying. And then in verse 3, watch this now. Therefore, meaning based on verse 1 and verse 2, therefore, I make known to you, the reason, because he didn't want you to be ignorant, I make known to you that no one, No one in the whole world, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus anathema or accursed or without hope or alienated from God or doomed to destruction. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine someone in this congregation standing up and saying, Jesus is anathema? Jesus is doomed to destruction. Jesus is without hope and alienated from God. Can you, you know what? You would receive the right hand of fellowship. Well, I said that in love. No one. Paul says, are you crazy? What are you doing in your meetings? You guys are tearing each other apart. Why would you allow anyone to stand in your congregation and say that about the Lord God who saved you and died on the cross for you and is coming again for you? Amen? So Paul, boy, he's saying, how can you do that? And they're doing it, loved one. Now listen, in public worship. That's what we're talking about. So keep it in context. So Paul says, no one speaking about the Spirit of God can say that Jesus is accursed. And you might say, well, Bill, that the reason they were doing that is because, you know, of Gnosticism. Well, Gnosticism was barely started back then, okay? And their little clique, in other words, for you to be a part of their clique after they really got started, after Corinthians, actually, they would make their members, if they wanted to come into the group, the first thing they had to say is, they had to stand before them and say, Jesus is accursed. So we know that they weren't believers. We know that they didn't trust in the Lord at all. You know, anytime you hear anyone slandering Christ, it's antichrist. It's those that hate the Lord. What did John tell us? Remember the Apostle John over in 1 John 2:22? He says this, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, meaning that Jesus, who denies that he was fully God, that he was fully man, that he was the perfect God-man without sin. 100% man, 100% God. He says, whoever denies that he is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Man, what a statement, John. Any who is a liar, anyone in this world. I don't care if they stand some politician. I don't care if they stand in some seminary or some college or on the street corner or maybe in a pulpit. You deny Jesus Christ's deity, you are Antichrist. It's just that clear. Now, with all that being said, those that were calling Jesus anathema, accursed, look over to the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians and drop down to verse 22. Paul says, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be what? Wow. Anathema, the same word. Let him be doomed to destruction without hope. Let that person be alienated from God. Of course, anyone who doesn't know Christ is alienated from God. And he says, look, and he goes, oh, Lord, come. In other words, Maranatha, praise God, I'm ready. Come on, Lord, we can go home anytime, you know, whenever our work is done. So listen, what is Paul saying in that verse? Don't be misinformed and don't be ignorant. Jesus is man's only hope. He is mankind's only hope. Now, he says, no one can say Jesus Christ, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what is he saying there? He's saying, yes, of course, those who are sincere in their heart, Romans 10:9, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus is the Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from dead, you'll be saved, yes. But what he's actually saying and implying is we would have to go back in history to their time. See, to say that Jesus is Lord could mean you're going to die. You follow me? In other words, that was the government could kill you back then. So there was a lot more to it than just that. But we know that whenever we really and truly with a genuine heart, Jesus be the Lord of my life, he saves us. Amen? Now, but why such ignorance as we begin, you know, this series on the gifts of the Spirit? Why was there such ignorance at Corinth, the church at Corinth? Well, the number one reason is they were carnal. Remember chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians? Carnal means fleshly. They were led by the flesh, not after the Spirit. Paul says, you are carnal, living as mere men. That word mere men means you're living like a lost person instead of a saved person. You're carnal, you're babes. What in the world is wrong with you? So what were they doing? The same thing, loved one. It hasn't changed. The same thing today. They were elevating these incredible gifts of the Spirit above the giver of the gifts. Same thing that happens today. Not only that, those that were in the church, man, that are in ministries, and man, God was using them, you know, even though they were babes in Christ, this church was only 4 years old. And so, man, they were moving and grooving and all the rest of it, and people were going, ooh, look, this guy, he just laid hands on the old, crummy and dummy down the street, and man, they're all healed. And they start giving that person who God was using, and they give him a superior status. You follow me? Same thing today. Listen, there's no different than then and thou. Thou? Whew, the King James Spirit. Whew, that must have been the Holy Spirit. Thou, listen carefully. No, in other words, they wanted them back then. Don't teach me about God, really, but I want you to be God for me. You understand? I don't want to search the Bible myself, man. You be God. You tell me. I need a word. You know, in other words, it's the same today. Man, I need a word of God. You've heard that. So if you need a word, I need a word from God. So what do you? I run to the man of God instead of God. Listen, do you need a word from God? Here's what I tell people. Go to the Word. There you go. You got 66 books. Find out something, okay? I had a person call me last year, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, Bill, Pastor Bill, I got to talk to you. I said, what? What is it? I need a word from God. I said, go back to bed. Yeah. Now, we don't, forgive me, we don't want to be ignorant, misinformed about the spiritual gifts. See, listen, today, just like then, they were glorifying man instead of glorifying God. Oh, loved one, listen. You know, I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Christ. They were, I'm with this person. This is my hero. Look, they're the gifted one. Oh, that's what they were doing. In 1 Corinthians 3:21, Paul told him, he said, listen, therefore let no one boast in men. That was the reason for the division in the church. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:31, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And we could say, and only in the Lord. Amen? So we have to clear that up. See, listen, don't be ignorant today. Don't be afraid today about the spiritual gifts. Learn and understand them. Listen, the true gifts of the Spirit, when they are manifested in the body of Christ in a scriptural and correct way, like the Bible teaches, now listen, it will always focus people's hearts on Jesus. Always. It will always do that. It'll make you to fall in love with Jesus more. It'll help you to say, oh, I just want Jesus. You worship him. It's not that person. No, listen, don't be ignorant. The number one way to tell if any of the gifts of the Spirit, if they are indeed a true manifestation of the Holy Spirit, is to ask yourself this question. Who does it draw attention to? Man or the Lord? That's a very important question. Loved one, listen, a true manifestation of the Holy Spirit will always exalt Jesus Christ. Not a man, not a man's ministry, not a woman, and not a woman's ministry. Are you listening to me? You say, well, Bill, how do you know that? Because Jesus told us. In John 16:14, he said, the Holy Spirit, this is what he will do. He will glorify Bill. He will glorify this ministry. Jesus said, he will glorify me. Loved one, listen, that's so important. And a Spirit-filled person, is one that exalts Jesus Christ. And if he is a pastor or a believer, he will always point others to Jesus Christ, never to a man, never to a person. Are you listening to me?
Once again, we've run out of time, but Pastor will conclude this message on tomorrow's program. And we look forward to seeing you once again. Thanks for listening with us. Be blessed, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.